This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Today on The Breakfast Grill is AWC Berhad, its CEO, Dato' Ahmad Kabir, and CFO, Randy Chitty. AWC is involved in the business of building maintenance, including air conditioning and plumbing. It also has a division for environmental business, which does rainwater harvesting and waste collection. Gentlemen, welcome. 2016 seems to be quite a watershed year. You have 1 billion ringgit in orders, and the three quarters of 2016 already exceeds sharply the full year revenue of the previous years. Share price also doubled in a few months, warranting an UMA query or unusual market activity query from Bursa Malaysia. What's happening there? Randy, can we start with you?
2016 indeed has been a very exciting year for us. As you've mentioned, the first three quarters results have been very strong. We've been very fortunate to have a whole bunch of contracts also come on stream. As you mentioned, our order book now stands about, now it stands about 1.2 billion.
What was the extra orders that came in?
Well, 1 billion was probably what was announced. We already had some work in hand, smaller ones that were ongoing. So of the 1.2 billion, about 500 is going to be recognized in the next two financial years, up to June 18, and the rest will take place after that.
So as of March 2016, Dato' Ahmad, AWC clinched about 700 million ringgit of government's concessions to maintain government buildings. How big is the government business within AWC's revenue stream?
I think government business is about, 30% and for the facilities division. To be on the broad side, we have three divisions: facilities, engineering and environment. So facility contributes about 30% of the revenue.
But on the basis of the overall revenue, the government is still an extremely big contributor to your overall revenues?
Yes, if you compare that with the last 15 years or so, it basically has come down quite a lot.
Percentage-wise.
What is the split right now between government and private contribution?
Okay, to put it a bit into perspective, number one, facilities, as Dato has mentioned, maybe 30-35% of our revenue. Within that 35%, probably half or slightly more is the government under the concession. Sorry, half of it comes from the government under the concession. Because outside of the concession, we also maintain other buildings. A large number of those are actually government or government-linked entities.
And could you just give us an idea about this bagging of awards from the government? Who were the previous concessionaires, and why is it that 2016 was such a watershed year?
Actually, we have been maintaining and managing the buildings under this concession way back 10 plus 5 years.
So from 1998.
And after which, basically, there was 2 years of negotiation and finally the signing of the concession agreement. These buildings, which is in the southern zone, which is Negeri Sembilan, Melaka, Johor and Sarawak, we maintain federal common user buildings, which is under the purview of Kementerian Kerja Raya. Mm-hmm.
And were there open biddings as far as this contract was concerned?
No.
How did that process take place where that project and that concession was immediately given to AWC?
Actually, the process is basically about almost all in about 3.5 years, the process of submission to the government. When the contract expiry, say 3 years before the expiry, then we have got to write into the government to register our interest that we would like to consider being the party to be evaluated. And of course, the government has a right to consider whether they would like to consider or to call for competitive bidding.
So the decision was made that there was no competitive bidding for this project.
If I may just clarify, Julian. Number one, we were the original contractors from, mm-hmm. as Dato mentioned, from 98. That expired in around 2013. And then, as Dato also mentioned, there was ongoing negotiation, conversations and all that with them. Came to a point where they decided, okay, you guys have you've done a decent job all these years. We are happy to give you another shot at it for another 10 years. So basically, that's what happened.
This project concerns the maintenance of air cons and plumbing system, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, so what would be the value proposition that you're giving the government in order for the government to rule out open bidding for this project?
What happened is that we have come up with some innovative way of looking at the whole model, where the earlier contract 10 plus 5 was purely straight deal of just on based on the floor space and just the pure cleaning and mechanical electrical works, aircon, plumbing and that. What we have done in the new model is that we have this item called critical asset refurbishment program.
Okay, what does that mean?
So it means basically we will do the replacement of components, parts, equipments that is in the building, which some of the buildings are already aging. So some of the buildings can be as old as about 15 to 25 years old. So we have to replace the lifts, we have to replace the air conditioning chillers and all of these parts. Eh?
Could you just tell us briefly the story of what kind of technology goes into this? Is this something that's very simple? You select parts to either replace them or to maintain it? Or is there some kind of higher value added work involved here?
Basically, the negotiation with the government is that it's between both parties to agree on what needs to be replaced. The replacement program is over a period of 4 years.
So is it just a matter of going around the building, looking at parts and looking at what is there to replace? Or is there something more that's involved here? For example, using some kind of technology to identify stuff to be replaced?
Maybe on the technology side, it's purely more of looking at maybe energy index in terms of humidity of the building to make sure that ambience of the building, plus also in terms of the chillers that we need to put it in, that will have to meet the requirement not only of the government but also independent assessment done by consultants for the government, and then working together with the government, then finally to arrive at what needs to be replaced.
I'm thinking about the analogy of car maintenance, right? Some people think that is much easier to replace the car, to get a new car, than to maintain the old one. Is it the same with things like this?
If I may chip in, what's happened in the time leading up to the signing of the concession agreement and also to the signing of the CARP agreement, the government has engaged, through the ministry, has engaged with us to say, okay, I've got these 42 buildings, let's say, and I've got items here that are going to fall apart or are already falling apart. So based on what I know, this is what you need to do, and this is the time frame during which you need to do it. So we've already agreed with them the what you would call the works program, down to specifics like this particular lift A in building B needs to be changed in June, let's say. So that's all already done, and also we've already agreed with the government on the pricing for the whole exercise. They've agreed to pay us a total of 140 million over 10 years, and that's on a monthly installment basis. So that's the pretty much the cash flow part of things. The actual operational part, we have a schedule, as I said just now. Item A needs to be changed in 3 months' time, that kind of thing. So that's how we've done it.
We have AWC Berhad on The Breakfast Grill today, and joining us are Dato' Ahmad Kabir, CEO, as well as Randy Chitty, Group CFO. After the break, we'll talk about the expansion of business that is outside of the public sector, as well as the green sector, the environmental sector. This morning on The Grill is AWC Berhad, and we are joined by Dato' Ahmad Kabir, who's Group CEO, and Randy Chitty, Group CFO. Gentlemen, going back to the idea of government contribution to your overall revenue, is it a good idea, this oversizing of the reliance on the government? Is that a good thing for business?
I would say at the initial stage of our contract, that was the 10 plus 5, I would like to say that it's good that because of the government initiative in developing this part of the business, this is where we are today. But however, as we move from here, of course, the reliance from public sector should reduce, and we should be looking at more business, not only from domestic, but also from international.
So what kind of things are you looking at?
So what we have done is, I'm proud to say that this is a homegrown business that has developed over a period of 35 years. Two, from where we started today, we have established and we have actually have the areas of both the engineering and environment, whereby engineering in terms of air conditioning and building automation control systems, which are all placed under the engineering division, both in Malaysia and Singapore. And then we have this environmental section where we have this pneumatic automated waste collection system, which is the footprints in Malaysia, in Singapore, in Abu Dhabi, in Qatar, in Taiwan, and we are looking further into both China, India, and Australia.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about environment in a while, but just going back to the split between government and private contribution to your overall revenue, I think the numbers that were given earlier were a little bit vague. Can you state again what is that split between government and private?
Okay. When we first came on the scene, this was in 13 years ago when we first got listed, the concession contributed probably 80-90%
of 80-90%. So that's substantial.
In Euro 3, 80-90% of our revenue. Mm-hmm. I think now the concession itself probably contributes about 20% to the overall group revenue.
And what is required to get business from the government? Is it based on establishing relationships? That's the barrier to entry, would you say? And then you're able to, so to speak, kill off the competition with your relationships with government individuals and entities. Would that be a fair thing to say?
I don't think so, because when we came in during that point of time, we proposed to the government, which I believe at that point of time, no one put in up a proposal whereby we proposed that can we look at how we can integrate the facilities maintenance part of the government to the private sector for a fee.
That's right. This is still a reliance on the government sector, right? So I'm just wondering whether there is that extra focus that you give to establishing relationships with representative of the government sector, of the public sector, is that a key competitive advantage?
I don't think, and I don't believe that that is how we were working on. Because if that is the case, then we do not have to wait for 3.5 to 4 years to get it through where we are today for just one single contract.
Now, you do, of course, have perceived to be private sector projects. For example, you got the cool water and plumbing works with TRX. That TRX itself is under 1MDB and it is a government project, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but we still have to go through the tender process, which is basically the consultants and have a call-in. And prior to that, I'm very sure that this company called Qdotech has established itself as high-end plumber for high-rise and complex buildings. And they have a track record even prior to securing TRX. So I believe it is not only because TRX is linked to 1MDB.
On the Breakfast Grill today, we have AWC Berhad with its Group CEO, Dato' Ahmad Kaber, as well as the Group CFO, Randy Chitty. You did mention that AWC is embarking on the environmental sector, the so-called green businesses, and this include underground waste collection system and a rainwater harvesting system. These are fairly new businesses. What made you go into these kind of businesses?
Basically, we were looking at the strategy, both from the strategic and expansion plan. To state, in terms of automated waste collection, is not a new business that we are in. I think we acquired this company way back, and it's just that we have been expanding further down from foreign to domestic, because we believe that in Malaysian context, if you look at automated waste collection system is similar to how once upon a time the sewerage system worked in Malaysia, whereby about 30-40 years back, you call the bucket system, and then to sewage lines that you see today. So the whole process takes a long time. Unlike when we introduced this automated waste collection system out of Malaysia, some of the countries managed to pick it up much earlier than us. So we basically have done almost about 30 secured jobs all over, and the acceptance level is beginning to take place in Malaysia.
So can you describe the automated waste collection system? What is the thing that you provide compared to the old system?
The example I like to use, Julian, is if you go into Singapore and you stay with your friend in a HDB flat and you have a drink of water, a can of milk or something, and then you want to throw it away, you open the chute, you throw it in, it drops to the bottom, and it sits there for a day, 2 days before somebody collects it into a collection point, and then maybe another 2 days before it gets fully dragged away. Our system adds a little bit of twist to that. If you open the same chute and you drop your rubbish, it drops to the bottom underground, and it gets sucked away via a series of pipes and all that, vacuum sucked away to a collection room, and that's where it sits, but it's enclosed. So you do away with the smell, with the pests and all that. And then periodically, the rubbish will get hauled away. This system can be used in a one-block condominium, can be used in a five-block condominium, can be used in a township. So we've developed systems, we've built systems where it encompasses like a whole 100 hectares kind of thing, with installed infrastructure and all that there. So if you build a building there, you hook up to our system, automatically it just goes to the bottom, it gets sucked away into a bin room. So you really don't have to worry about collection and carting rubbish through public areas and all
corridors and so on. It's very much like a centralized waste collection system. And what about the rainwater harvesting? What kind of industrial, commercial or even residential usage can this go into?
In terms of the rainwater systems, the government, the federal government, if I'm not mistaken, has mandated around 2011, 2012 that all commercial buildings with a certain size measured usually by roof area. And what happens is if you're going to build a building above X thousand square feet roof area, you will need to have a certain element of rainwater systems. A lot of our business is industrial, our business is growing because a lot of these people who are building now have to comply with this requirement.
Mm-hmm. And what is it used for?
Well, for example, rainwater systems are installed in KLIA2 by us. The washrooms and the toilet systems use recycled rainwater. So they are collected, they are treated, and then they are used for flushing and for hand wash in the basin. So that's an example. In terms of what you can do with rainwater that's collected, you can not do anything and just use it, say, for gardening or washing your car. Or you can go the full works, you can treat it for drinking. Obviously, to do that is, you know, a lot more expensive, so it's not feasible.
Would you say that this has a very high potential, growth potential? Because as of now, if I'm not mistaken, the order book is only about 100 million, about one-tenth of your total order book size.
Yeah, I think...
Hang on, just to clarify, Julian, the 100 million order book is for the plumbing side, not for the rainwater. Rainwater, it goes by purchase orders. Somebody walks in and says, okay, I want to buy 100,000 or a million worth of your product. So no order book per se, so far as the rainwater business is concerned. Okay. Yeah.
So what's happening is that this is basically part and parcel of this, all these high-rise buildings that you see in Greater KL. For example, KL118. Will have this rainwater harvesting installed in it. And this is part of the, they call it GBI, Green Building Index, and part of the green initiatives that it is happening around the world. So both from the environmental standpoint and the engineering standpoint, so we are creating the synergy between green initiative, both from plumbing angle under rainwater harvesting and the environment where we have the pneumatic waste, which again is the green initiative of waste being thrown around everywhere underground. So all this adds more GBI points to all the new buildings that's taking place around in the Greater KL. So in years to come, you will see that the business of the rainwater harvesting on most of the high-rise buildings, at least to start with, you will see that by law it's already been gazetted, but the commercial side is taking off at a fast rate.
So let's look at the financial numbers. Going forward, what is the dividend policy going to be?
We have a history of paying dividends up to the last two financial years, 2014 and 2015. What happened there was we were finalizing the negotiations for the concession renewal, and we didn't want to happily pay out a dividend, and then if we didn't get the concession renewed, we have no concession and no money. Mm-hmm. So
the difference between a special dividend and an actual recurring dividend policy is that the special dividends may not be recurring, right?
Yes, yes. And it's not, I think, it's not factored into your policy. If, let's say, your policy is to pay X million every year from your profit, a special dividend is not included in that calculation.
Would you be having it as part of your objectives to start an actual dividend policy?
I think the board is, if I may speak on behalf of the board, I think the board is contemplating the pros and cons of having a policy. The board hasn't made a decision yet. However, I think if we continually pay dividends, that helps a great deal, as opposed to what happened in the last 2 years, we didn't pay a dividend.
Of course, your debt levels have to come into consideration in deciding whether you have enough cash to pay dividends or not.
Our group is actually very lowly geared, so that shouldn't be a consideration, or shouldn't be too much of a consideration in our planning and our thinking.
Would you say that your business is rather capex light, that you don't need to spend too much on machinery, and it's really the talents that you have to invest into?
Pretty much so. Throughout all three divisions, very low capex business. However, having said that, just now when we talked about the critical asset part of things with the concession, in that area, we will have to invest a bit more in getting the assets and putting them in and then handing them over to the government. But of course, having said that, I'm doing it for the government. They're going to pay me. So on our own, very asset-light business.
What would you say going forward is the main focus of your business?
The main focus, what we have on the plate today, with approximately 1.2 billion, I think will take us through a good minimum of at least 3 years, and the focus has to be more on exactly that, on talent development, talent retention and talent acquisition, both from the facility sides and also from the engineering side, as compared to our neighboring countries where we see that the talent retention program and acquisition program is always on the up note.
And on the green business, would you say that one day that would actually overtake the existing businesses?
I think the green business, both from rainwater harvesting, and I think there's more to go for the even the automated waste collection system with the Greater KL, with all these high-rise buildings coming up. I think we are poised to have further growth in these areas.
Thanks so much for joining us, and all the best to you both. And that was Dato' Ahmad Kabi, Group CEO, and Randy Chitty, Group CFO for AWC Berhad, on today's Breakfast Grill. I'm Julian Ng for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.